This is the Sales Gravy Podcast. Hi, I'm Jeb Blunt, best-selling author of Fanatical Prospecting, Objections, Sales EQ, and Inked, and I'm here to help you open more doors, close bigger deals, and rock your commission check.
Welcome back to the Sales Gravy Podcast. I'm Jeb Blunt Jr., and today we are talking about one psychological edge that separates the top 1% from everyone else. And that is boldness. My guest today, I'm really excited about this, but you have lived boldly at the highest level, Mr. Fred Joyle. He's the co-founder of Futurodontics, a powerhouse behind 1-800-DENTIST. And for over 30 years, Fred built a brand that just, I mean, simply it dominated. But Fred is also a Wall Street Journal best-selling author of his new book, Super Bold, a world-class keynote speaker. Go check out his website. And a guy who has literally been a question on Jeopardy. I thought that we could start with a couple of questions, but Fred, welcome to the Sales Gravy Podcast.
I'm excited to be here and want to hear some bold moves you've made in your life as well.
I'm excited about this. While I was going through the research and having some rumination around what I would ask you and what our conversation was like, I was thinking about your first chapter of Super Bold, in which you kind of challenge the reader to, if you can do all these bold things in your life, you can put down the book. And, you know, I think my ego said, I am that person. But as I listen deeper, I think I want you to challenge me a bit more to be bolder than I am currently. And I love this concept. And boldness is a muscle, as you described it, not something you're born with. So we deal with the fear of rejection a lot in sales, in the sales world. People who go into sales meetings and they get told no over and over and over and over again, or cold calling or whatever that is. How do you flesh out boldness as a muscle versus something innate that people are seeing in their workplace? Someone clearly is a high performer because they are bolder than them, but they don't know how to get there. Can you kind of open up what boldness is as a concept for people?
People think that it's a DNA thing. They think, oh, some people are just naturally bold. What I have found, because I'm a recovering introvert, I was painfully shy growing up, and I learned my way out of it. And so I learned that it is a learnable life skill and an incredibly valuable one, but nobody teaches that. They don't really teach it in sales. I think it's one of the things that's really missing in sales training is how do you build your boldness? This is the important thing about all of it. And I try to get, if you understand just this, people say, well, I would be bolder if I were more confident. And I say, no, that's not how it works. Bold action is what builds your confidence. If you're confident, you don't need boldness. You're not taking a risk. Things are going okay. Bold action is about doing something where you're uncomfortable. But what it does is the more bold things you do, the more that expands your comfort zone and builds your confidence. You widen it. But it builds just like a muscle. In my book, I talk about how you build muscle by being uncomfortable. That's the point in an exercise, is you're working out, and the only way you're going to get growth is by being uncomfortable. That, you know, no pain, no gain. And the other thing that we're doing is the most important rep when you're exercising, so you're doing curls or bench press, the most important rep is the one you can't do, because that's where you're getting the maximum growth. Is like, you got to number 13 and number 14 is not happening. That's when you know you maxed out. And it's interesting, because in exercise, what are we doing? We're aiming for failure. That's the point. There's no negative consequences to failure. It's all positive. It's all growth. So I take that concept and put it into boldness and say, you want to be uncomfortable. You have to strain yourself, but you don't want to overwhelm yourself. But do bold actions when the consequences are so low that it doesn't matter, so that you are bold when it does matter.
I think that this is so important to understand from a psychological perspective, because I've decided recently that I'm going to take on a new challenge, a new physical challenge. And this is a competition that I'll be training for. And I realize that when you are working a new muscle, you're trying to use that boldness. If it's not painful, if you're not pushing, you're not gaining any ground towards your goal. And with boldness, this theory that it's a muscle that you can exercise and create more space or more endurance or more strength with it, more confidence. If, you know, confidence is where this boldness becomes comfortable and it's not a risk anymore. I'm not that kind of person. Fred, I am a person who I have this philosophy in sales, and I think I can say this on this podcast. It's my podcast. I'm looking at my producer. I call it principle, which when I get really scared and I'm out in the field or I'm out prospecting or I'm going to go into a really cool conversation with Mr. Fred Joyle, the co-founder of 1-800, you know, dentist, I think, screw it. What's the worst thing that could happen? And I sort of leap into that thing. Now, that's not trained boldness. That's sort of instinctual boldness. And I could definitely get better at that. But there are people in my life who I know who are never going to do that. They just don't have that thought process of, I'm scared, so I might as well go. I think of jumping off a cliff, you know, into some water. You're going to be okay. And you know you're going to be okay. But jumping off that cliff is kind of tough. So when you work with shy people or you work with somebody who is saying like, yeah, this sounds like a great conversation, guys, but sure, how I could practically do that? How do you start to build that muscle from the ground up? What is your first step?
It's the same thing as exercising. If you say, I want to build my pectoral muscles, you don't start by trying to bench 350 pounds because you're going to crush your rib cage. You start where you are. If I see somebody who can't meet anybody when they go to a party, I say, you're going to meet one person. And if you can't do that, you're just going to smile at people. That's all you're going to do because that's the dosage you can handle. You have to control the intensity for you. Now, you have certain situations where you may not summon the boldness. I've coached bold people as well. And they say, you know what? I thought it was pretty bold, but I realized there's a couple of places where I'm stopping myself.
Yeah.
Really shy people, introverts, we stop ourselves everywhere. We're really good at calculating how bad it's going to feel, but incredibly inaccurate about how bad it actually is. Once you start to develop that boldness, the positive feedback starts to work. And you also start to reject rejection. You start to let it bounce off you. If I say to somebody, you're just going to smile at five people every day. And guess what? They're not all going to smile back. Some people don't smile at anybody. You do it enough where you just go, oh, they didn't smile. I don't have to take that on. Because that's what we do. We take so much on. We're so worried about what people think about ourselves. This is one of the great gifts of developing your boldness is you let go of other people's opinions and chase your dreams. And because people have all sorts of crazy judgments about everybody and they're mostly inaccurate. So they're inaccurate about you. Bold people have four or five people whose opinions really matter. And the rest they don't worry about, even if it's positive. If somebody says, that was the greatest lecture I've ever heard, you've changed my life, I actually don't take that on either, because that's a little extreme.
Right.
Because I've seen better speakers than me by a lot. And somebody in the audience undoubtedly thinks I'm full of right? I'm a complete idiot, but you can't learn boldness. You know, it's nonsense. And he's just a show off. He's just, you know, whatever. I don't take that on either. What I'm trying to do is the person who's ready, I want them to receive. I want to communicate exactly that epiphany that she needs right now. Mm. And that's all I care about.
You mentioned that the bold person has four or five people that they trust with their opinions. And I think that's a really good principle. As someone who trains this and speaks on it all over the world, and you have some incredible stories, I'm sure. What are some expressions of boldness as an observer to you that if you're looking at this question of can I be bold or not, why should someone be bold? What are you seeing out in the world? What are some fun stories about people who made that turn?
What I've seen them do is pull themselves out of depression. Somebody who I thought was fairly successful in their career, she was really down on herself. And she just read my book and she just started to smile at people and say hi to them. And she said, my whole life has changed. That's starting at the beginning. And she's already felt this transformation happening. It's like, oh, I can brighten my life up that easily. And I was letting every day get worse and worse. I mean, that means something to me. Coached another young man who he couldn't meet anybody anywhere. He was that social anxiety level person. Well, I've got him walking around in fast food restaurant yelling, "I love hamburgers." I'm videotaping him because I said, "This nothing bad will happen." That's what bold people really understand, is that 99% of the time, it's all in your head. They're going to laugh at me. They're going to judge me. Everybody's going to laugh at me. I say, everybody? Do you know all of them? Why do you care what they think? But when you can let that go and say, they're not thinking about me. They're thinking about themselves. So think about me for 2 seconds and go back to their favorite topic. And so don't worry about it.
If you're working with salespeople or people who are customer facing or have a responsibility to bring in revenue or relationships into the orbit or into the business, how can boldness be applied in that setting, in your mind, as someone who's been at the top level of an organization?
The idea is to build your boldness muscle outside of your sales job. So do bold things, take bold actions when the consequences are low. And what happens is that boldness starts to transfer. It starts to become reflexive so that you have the boldness, this product might not be for you, or it may be too expensive for you. Think how bold that is. Because what happened? The guy goes, no, I can afford this. And the boldness to do one of the most important things in sales training, role playing. We avoid it like the plague. And it's the best way to get better. And the consequences are non-existent. They are all imaginary.
Yeah.
You will never get better by anything else more than just by role playing. And so the boldness to do that, the boldness to say, hey, I want to role play.
Just go back, rewind it, listen to this. Please go role play. Fred, I had this team that I worked on, and it was a tech company. I was an intern. I must have been 19 years old. And I knew nothing, so I was super naive, but I had sort of this idea that I needed to prove something. And I don't know what that chip on my shoulder was, but it was just hanging there. And so I would drive around in my territory that I was just prospecting in. There was really no sales conversations. I was just getting these conversations in. And in the middle of my day, I would just call all of the reps on my team. I would just randomly call them and do a prospecting call. I would just call them like they were a customer. And it was I had the funniest conversations because they were trying to figure out what the hell I was doing with you. They were, what do you need from me? I need a meeting with you right now, because we do this. And it would just be this fun conversation and getting all those people to do this, I think is a really important step in boldness. I love what you're talking about. You have worked with so many people. We just heard a story about this person who pulled themselves out of a depression, but you have this book and you mentioned you were shy, painfully shy when you were, you know, a younger man. What was your journey like? What were some of the highlights of your steps into being who you are today and being able to get up on stage and not care if someone thinks you're a jackass or thinks you're the best speaker in the world? Like those two extremes, you don't even care about them. How did you get to that point?
By having that critical insight that people aren't thinking about me as much as I think they are, and I'm stopping myself from having fun. I am hesitating and I'm missing out. And I'm missing out, and I was missing out on dates. I was missing out on fun. I was missing out on job opportunities. It made me angry after a while because there were certain situations. The first time I had a sales opportunity, I was working in this business and the owner said, I was just like a shop hand or something. And he says, you're a smart guy. I think you could sell for us. So he brings me up the sales office, introduced me to the sales manager, and the sales manager says, okay, here's your desk, here's your phone, here's a list of all the businesses in the state. Start calling them and see if they want to do business with us. I sat there all day. I couldn't make a single phone call.
That's the most terrifying. And for you, I'm sure it was just, oh my, 15 minutes and you thought, oh, this isn't for me.
Yeah. Oh, eventually I got other sales jobs. Now, zero training, zero preparation, but I already had built-in call reluctance. I didn't need him to, you know, stimulate it. At a certain point, you got to eat. You got to close. It's, you know, you're killing this job, and which is the joy of it, which is, you know, most people are terrified of being salespeople, which is why it makes it easier for us to do it. But I had to go to 400 different dental practices to find the first 20 doctors to participate in 800 dentists because they had never heard of such a thing. We say, you know, you're going to make 100 calls to get one close, 400 to get 20 guys. So I had to do double the ratio.
Living it. Yeah, absolutely and, you know, living it.
And it's when you think cold calling's bad, go door to door.
To a dentist. To dentists.
And who are working with their hands all day. And
they're in somebody else's mouth while you're trying to talk to them. They don't think what you mean.
Bother you for a moment? No. But and that's what I tell people. I say when you complain about your product, I had to sell dentistry to consumers and I had to sell to dentists who work all day and can't take sales calls. So stop your whining.
Outbound 2026 is the biggest, baddest conference in sales, and it is hitting Las Vegas from November 9th through the 12th. Join an elite group of just 400 sales leaders and top performers at the stunning Red Rock Casino Resort and Spa off Strip. This isn't a seminar. This is a highly intense rock show for your sales career. So you want to go secure your spot now because tickets are selling out at outboundconference.com. That's outboundconference.com, and we'll see you in Vegas.
You know, this is like I built a business doing $50 million a year by deciding it was
super,
too hard.
It's super easy to be bold comparatively when you have a Zoom info, for example, and they're pulling lists of 200 businesses that are targeted for your ICP. That's a different animal than when you were building your business and you had all of these dentists. You have no idea if they're the right fit for you and you're finding, but you're stepping into that space. And so you went from, okay, here's a whole list of businesses in the state. I sat there all day. I couldn't make calls to 20 people to close business with you in 400. What was the time that you realized I got to turn this thing around and I got to start going out there and being bold?
I was very slow at it. I was actually too afraid to be ambitious in my 20s. But then I discovered the advertising world, and I along with being frustrated with my underconfidence and my hesitation and my lack of boldness, I found my tribe, which was to work in the advertising world. And so I just started being bolder and bolder because I was excited about what I was creating, and I would deliver it with such enthusiasm. I was a junior copywriter. They were bringing me into presentations to deliver the content. They said, bring Fred in. He's gonna sell the heck out of this for us. And so I just, like I said, I suddenly started to create this feedback loop, and it goes all the way to neuroplasticity. When you start doing these things and getting the positive feedback from doing it, doesn't have to be 100% of the time, but all of a sudden you're creating new neural pathways, and those hesitation, fearful neural pathways are atrophying. And it's physically happening inside your skull. And all of a sudden, boldness becomes your default mode.
That is so powerful that you get to a place where it's not a choice. I think of this as journaling. When I go through, for example, like if you've ever gone through like cognitive behavioral therapy, and those practices, you spend a lot of time thinking about how to do these different practices like boldness. You would journal about it and talk about it. And you're getting to this place where it's not any more a separate entity. It's a part of you. It is becoming who you are. It's so deeply embedded. You have this interesting story about your time with Mr. Jeff Foxworthy, which I'm sitting in Augusta, Georgia. I'm in the South. So Jeff Foxworthy, I grew up with all of his stuff all around me. I'm sure if you're familiar, you know his comedy. But you were on Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Well, so if you the way the show works is you answer all of these questions with the kids' help, and you accumulate money for every correct answer. So I had accumulated $25,000 because I got all 10 questions right. And then you get to bet that whole, all your winnings on one hard question, and the kids don't get to help you. And backstage, they had told me, do not do this. They do not want you to win. They are not going to give you 10 times your money. I said, I have to do it. I had become the person who I could live with getting it wrong, but I couldn't live with not taking a swing at it. And so they roll out the question, and it's like, what layer of the earth lies below the lithosphere? And it's like, you don't understand the question. But I get it wrong. But because I went for that last question, and because I was thinking out loud, they said, make it good television. So I was interplaying with kids and getting, I would know the answer, and I would ask the kids to help me anyway and stuff. They repeated that episode endlessly. And here's the deal. I had an 800 dentist polo shirt on for the whole episode. And Jeff would talk about 800 dentists. And then the text would come up on the screen. 800 dentists has sent 8 million people to the dentist. We got $1 million of free publicity out of that.
Yeah.
And this is one of the secrets of being bold, is many times something unexpectedly great happens. Maybe not even what you were aiming for. I was aiming for $250,000. Instead, I got $1 million of publicity just by saying yes.
And you have this principle, this philosophy, that everything is marketing. I assume that this falls very squarely into that philosophy. So how do you shape that in your business world, not just for your decision to take the $250,000 loss on TV in everyday life? What are the motions you're sort of going through when you look at an opportunity and say, yes, I'm going to be bold because everything is marketing?
You know, even as a salesperson, everything about you, you know, one of the subtitle of my book is From Underconfident to Charismatic in 90 Days. All charisma is you radiate that you belong wherever you are. And you're comfortable in that, or you appear comfortable in that, because you're ready to say, your mantra is, I belong everywhere. You don't let somebody else decide where you belong, whereas the rest of the world is out there going, I'm not worthy. How can that be helpful? How are you going to chase your dreams that way? My trademark when I'm on stage is I wear these really crazy shoes. And I've had people like text me going, I've already bought them. A whole bunch of other people people are wearing more and more interesting socks. I was wearing crazy socks way before people were wearing fun socks. And I've invited people up on stage to dance with me. I've done a dance in front of 5,000 people. I do not dance well. And I don't give a shit, because what they find charismatic is I'm crazy enough to do it and not worry about it. And that draws people to you. That is magnetic. So know that everything that you put out there is marketing your personal brand. Hey, going forward, that's all we've got. We don't know where any industry, any vertical, any career is going in the age of AI. So your ability to connect with people individually and in groups is going to be your irreplaceable advantage. And if you're not bringing the boldness, you're not going to draw people to you. Go one step further. That one of the axioms of sales is people buy from people they like. And I think that's shifted a lot, one with so much online buying and so much refinement in sales pitching. I would say, people buy from someone they are charmed by. It's the next level up. And that's all charisma is like, they can't resist you. We generate trust by our charisma, by being that level of charming, that they feel the connection. And when you radiate, I don't need this sale, you need this product, when that is true to your bones, you can't help but close more. Just like when you radiate, I need this close because it's the end of the month and I'm going to get put on probation if I don't. You ain't closing because you radiate desperation like a high school kid at a dance.
I think that this ties directly into the last story that I want you to tell, which is the narrative of I don't belong here doesn't exist for you. You don't have a place where you don't belong because this is an opportunity and you can be there in the moment. Your boldness allows you to have confidence. You can be the person who takes advantage versus the person who's reacting to things. Speaking of uncomfortable places to be, though, you were sitting with Sir Richard Branson playing chess, it seems like, and you didn't lose. So please tell us that story.
Yeah, so he owns a few islands in the Virgin Islands. And sometimes you business people go and, well, they'll rent the one of the islands, Necker Island. And so I was with a group of people who had rented it. Sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not, because he lives on a different island. And let me preface it with, he is the person I admire the most in the world in terms of business. The way he behaves, the businesses he's built, everything about him. So I was there playing tennis. First day of the week that we're there, I rupture my Achilles tendon. So I'm helpless, basically. So I'm sitting there with my leg up watching people play tennis. And Richard comes over to me. And I didn't even know he's on the island, but he comes over and he goes, "Oh, this is such a bother that this has happened to you. Do you play chess?" Now I'm thinking, oh, crap, I haven't played chess in 40 years. He's going to beat me in 5 moves. He's going to think I'm an idiot. He's going to say, "Why did you say you could play chess?" And so the correct answer is no. But I said yes. And so he waves somebody to bring a chessboard over. We sit and we play. And I'm playing such a disorienting game because I'm remembering how to play that he can't figure out what I'm doing.
Right.
I'm leaving all of these defenses down. So he's attack, attack, attack. Leaves himself completely open. At one point, I go, "This is check. Actually, it's checkmate." And he looks down at the board in shock, and he goes, and he calls me a really bad name, and immediately sets the board up to play again. Now, I'm treating him like a regular person, even though he's a billionaire, and I'm not by a lot. There's several decimal places.
There's in levels between. In this game.
Yeah, And so he kept coming to find me for the rest of the week to play chess and to sit across from him at dinner because I was keeping the other people off him.
Yeah.
Who were looking for business advice or, you know, investment opportunities and stuff like that. It's like, he doesn't need to do any of that. He wanted to talk about politics. He wanted to talk about sports. He wanted, you know, he's a fun guy and really interesting. And people were actually complaining. They're saying, like, "You're monopolizing Branson." It's like, oh, really? Yeah, I'm going to tell him to go talk to somebody else. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, you're telling me I'm absolutely doing that, and I'm going to keep doing it. Figure it out, you know?
Yeah. Here's the important thing, and I tell people this as well, is like the whole idea of carpe diem, seize the day. That's a great idea. But the reality is most opportunities come and go in seconds. You don't have all day. You got to learn to seize the moment. What I did with Richard is who I had become. I said yes. I had 1 second to say yes or no. Think of the regret that I would have had if he just went, "Oh, well, okay, I hope you feel better," and walked away, as opposed to this experience. And that's what I do in my life. It's like, I am a yes man. It's like, "You want to try that? Want to sing karaoke?" Yeah. I would not be good. No, we're not either. Let's go.
The Jim Carrey movie, Yes Man, or when he goes kind of overboard with it, it sort of paints a bad picture. But think about it. You wouldn't have been able to tell me about your experience with Richard Branson. I didn't know he played chess and just wanted to talk and hang out. I mean, of course, I sort of probably knew that, but now I know somebody who knows that for sure. And you don't have that story. And I love that this sort of mindset is, The opportunities come and go in seconds. Say yes to the thing that I think your heart, at least I feel this, like my heart will sing when there's an opportunity in front of me. And I know I should say yes to it. And all of my logic, all of my brain is telling me, no, you're probably not going to have fun. It's going to be a drag. You know, you've got other things you need to be doing. This is, you know, taking you out of whatever else you had going on in your life. But then saying yes to it, I've never regretted it. I've always believed that at the end of the day, the experience and the stories you tell have more impact than that spreadsheet you really worked on at, you know, 9 o'clock at night just to make sure everything was in place tomorrow. I love that this was the conversation we had, and I'm glad we got to hear about Richard Branson. I want to give you some space here because you have this book out and because you were touring all over the world doing these wonderful keynote speeches in crazy, crazy shoes. You have to go check out his video. If it's worth anything, it's at least worth the shoe site because though they are crazy. Tell people a little bit more about where they can find you, when they can learn about you, kind of what's going on in your world and when maybe why they would want to have you at their next event.
So the easiest place to find me is fredjoyal.com. My last name is spelled Joyal. You can find all sorts of content there. You can see videos of me speaking. Everything in social media out there is my name, Fred Joyle. So Instagram, whatever, it's all LinkedIn. I'm a marketing guy at heart. I grabbed everything immediately. I'm Fred Joyle at Gmail. unfortunately, because everybody's figured it out. So I'm 4,000 promotional emails a day. I love doing keynotes. I love firing up sales teams. I recently spoke to a bunch of guys who sold roofing, residential and, individual homes and plats, neighborhoods. And it was so satisfying because it's all dudes, of course. And I got them fired up and their boss came up to me after. He said, these guys come up to me. This was every year they do this event and they bring in a speaker. He says, everybody's telling me you're the best speaker we've ever brought in. And I went like, that's interesting because I don't know anything about roofing. But they were lining up to get, he bought books for everybody. They were lining up to get them signed. And I was like, this is great. These guys are going to have the best year ever. Cause that's what he's saying. He says, we want to break 100 million in revenue this year. And I said, you guys are going to kill it. And then I checked with them. I always check in. And 9 months later, they said, we're on track to exceed that by 10%. And I said, I'll take full credit for that.
Yeah, I'll take a commission for that, right? I'll take 10% on 100 and $10 million.
And my book, Super Bold, From Underconfident to Charismatic in 90 Days, it will impact you, I think, in ways that will surprise you from wherever you are. From if you are a painful introvert and you just want to meet the partner of your dreams, or you want to quit your job and start a business, whatever it is, I want to help people become the top salesperson in their organization. So this can happen. This is possible for you, easier and faster than you think.
Go check out this book. You can get it on anywhere you listen to books as well. And you can go buy it. You can go check out Fred at all of his websites, YouTube. And speaking of YouTube and podcasts, you can actually watch our conversation on youtube.com/salesgravy. It'll be posted there. And you can also listen to us on Spotify and Apple Music, iHeart, wherever you get your podcasts. Always give us five stars and a review if you can. You can leave comments on Spotify. I don't know if you know this, but you can actually leave comments on Spotify. If you like us, if you don't like us, I'll read them. I'll promise you that. I'll read those. But you can get those comments there on Spotify and on YouTube. Let us know any other guests you'd like to have and any other conversations and what you think about Fred and what we can do to get you connected with him. So you all have a wonderful, wonderful day, and we'll catch you next time on the Sales Gravy Podcast.